Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we remember St. John Eudes. I didn't know much about him myself, but I've learned a lot. He took a vow of chastity at the age of 14, and drawn by the Christ-centered teachings of Cardinal Bérulle, he was ordained a priest of the Oratory. At this time, the devastating 30 Years' War had all but destroyed the faith of the peasants. John threw himself into mission work, enthusiastically preaching over 104 to 20-week missions to his countrymen. Struck by the great need for well-educated and self-giving priests, he founded the Society of Jesus and Mary, the Eudists, for the education of seminarians. The Order of Our Lady of Charity of the Refuge was established for the care of women who had been drawn into prostitution. My goodness, brothers and sisters, he died the year 1680, but look what he accomplished. Look what he did. He preached the truth to many people. He'd preach enthusiastically, preaching over 104 to 20-week missions to his countrymen. He knew they needed to be educated, and he did it for them. And the opening prayer says, O God, who wonderfully chose the priest St. John Eudes to proclaim the unfathomable riches of God, grant us by his example and teachings that growing in knowledge of you, we may live faithfully by the light of the gospel through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Let's take a look at these readings now, keeping in mind that this is the memorial of St. John Eudes. We take a look at the book of Judges, chapter 11, verses 29 to 39. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He passed through Gilead and Manasseh and through Mizra-Gilead as well, and from there he went on to the Ammonites. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, if you deliver the Ammonites into my power, he said, whoever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites shall belong to the Lord. I shall offer him up as a burnt offering. Jephthah then went on to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his power, so that he inflicted a severe defeat on them, from Mar to the approach of Minith, 20 cities in all, and as far as Abel-Keram. Thus were the Ammonites brought into subjection by the children of Israel. When Jephthah returned to his house in Mizpah, it was his daughter who came forth, playing the tambourines and dancing. She was an only child. He had neither son nor daughter besides her. When he saw her, he rent his garments and said, alas, daughter, you have struck me down and brought calamity upon me, for I have made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot retract. She replied, father, you have made a vow to the Lord. Do with me as you have vowed, because the Lord has wrought vengeance for you on your enemies, the Ammonites. Then she said to her father, let me have this favor. Spare me for 2 months, that I may go off down the mountains to mourn my virginity with my companions. Go, he replied, and sent her away for 2 months. So she departed with her companions and mourned her virginity on the mountains. At the end of the 2 months, she returned to her father, who did to her as he had vowed. Animals lived in the lower part of the house. Jephthah would have expected an animal to come out of the house, not his very own daughter. But he did what he had vowed. He was that obedient to God. Brothers and sisters, rules and promises and plans that we make sometimes need a lot more prayer. But This was a sign of how much he loved the Lord, that he would give his own daughter to him. Brothers and sisters, you can say, well, that's horrible. But this, for them in that time, was a clear sign that they would give God everything. They would do whatever God asked of them to do. Brothers and sisters, I'm not asking you to give away. We know we would not give away our children. But brothers and sisters, what we want to do is put what God asks of us first and do it. Do it with as much goodness as we can. For he loves us and he wants you, even now in this age, he wants you to give him yourself. I don't mean to death. I mean right now, every day, Lord, I belong to you. How would you want me to live today? I have a problem coming up. Lord, can you give me some help? Give me some understanding. Put somebody in my path who will help me. Brothers and sisters, God will hear you. If you're a good Catholic person, God hears you. You may not hear his voice. You probably won't hear his voice, but he will hear you in his heart and help you. But we have to make sure that we want to do God's will, not our own. If we're doing our will and asking God to bless it, that might not be a good idea. We go to God first and say, this is what I think I should do. Help me. Psalm 40 tells us, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will, not my will, your will. Bless the man who makes the Lord his trust, who turns not to idolatry or to those who stray after falsehood. Sacrifice or oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not, but then said I, behold, I come. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Brothers and sisters, do you seek every day to do God's will? It might be take a rest today. It might be what God wants for you. Do you ask him, Lord, these are the things I need to get done today. Would you help me prioritize them so I know what's most important? Thank you for being here for me. I love you. Walk with me. Stay with me. You pray like that. Keep praying like that. You probably notice nothing for a while. But then, when God knows your intention is clear, you'll be surprised how God helps those. Might come through another person. It might come through reading a book. It might come through a whole myriad of ways. But something will come to you that will help you. Trust him. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Sacrifice or oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Let us obey the Lord and follow him. Wait upon him. He is faithful to you. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast. Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then the king said to his servants, the feast is ready, but Those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment, and he said to him, "My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?" But he was reduced to silence. And then the king said to his attendants, "Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and gnashing, grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen." Brothers and sisters, we have to realize that if we want to see God, it's not that we need to be perfect. We just need to follow his commandments, follow his way. You've heard it all as a child. Remember, follow his commandments. Do it his way. And the more you do that, the more he will draw you closer to himself. Because one day you are going to see him. And you don't want him to say, "Go away from me." Please, brothers and sisters, as I've said to you many times before, I want to get to heaven, and I want you to be there with me. So let us look at our lives and say, where am I failing? Take only one thing at a time. There may be four or five things you know you need to change. Just take one and work on it until you really get it under control. And God hears that effort. God hears that desire, and he will help you. When you've got one down, give yourself a little break. Then start on the second thing that you know you need to change. This will take several years. Don't be afraid. God sees your effort. God knows what you're thinking. He really does. He knows you. He knows you and me better than we know ourselves. He knows us. And he wants you with him in heaven. So let us, brothers and sisters, let us, in a certain sense, turn over a new leaf. Just, it isn't how many rosaries you say, though the rosary is very important. But the first thing is to bring before God, "Lord, I'm always doing this. I'm always making this mistake. I'm always doing this. Will you help me?" And just work with that one thing. It might take a year. It might take 6 weeks. I don't know. You'll know. And then take the second, and then the third. We'll never be perfect this side of heaven. We'll always have little ways that we can offend because we're creatures. But brothers and sisters, if you really strive, God will hear you and bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.